Well, last week, we learned from the Apostle Paul in our lessons about a wife and a husband and the marriage relationship that God ordained. And we always want to remember this relationship is one that God designed. One man, one woman. And He tells us in that lesson that we learn things like, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's chapter 5, verse 22. Now the reason is because the husband is the head of the wife. We read that in verse 23. And then to husbands, He says, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave Himself for her. Verse 25. The marriage from God that works. It works when the husband loves his own wife and the wife respects her husband. And that was our last lesson in this chapter 5 from the book of Ephesians. And now we turn to chapter 6 this morning and to what the family unit is in the eyes of God. How God wants mothers and fathers and children to work together, to walk worthy together in such a way that brings honor and glory to the Father in heaven. And Paul first addresses the children here in that role, and then the father and the mother's role, responsibility to raise their children. So today our lesson is simply called Family Walking Worthy, which is another lesson in this series from the book of Ephesians, that we are to walk worthy of the calling with which we are called. That's our job. That's what we are. Our identity in Christ as members of the body of Christ. And so I want you to turn over to chapter 6 and verse 1, where the apostle writes very simply, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Right? Children, obey your parents. Obeying your parents means that you listen to them. Right? I'm talking to the children and to all the adults. So we're all on the same page. Obeying your parents means that you listen to and then you obey what you hear. In the book of James, James chapter 1 verse 17, we read all about how important it is to listen. That wisdom that comes first from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. That's God. And so all of us, we gain wisdom and we listen to God first and above all things. Solomon speaks of this wisdom in Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 32. And you think about the wisdom. He says, listen to me, that's wisdom, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. And so that's wisdom speaking directly to us through that great preacher, Solomon. Jesus the Lord, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. So learning and listening, first from God, and then your children, your parents, right? Your parents have learned, Christian parents have learned from God, from Solomon, and literally from living life. They've heard and they have learned and they have followed that great shepherd and they have gained that kind of great wisdom and faith. And that's all the reason why you should at least begin to listen more and obey them, right? You hear what they say. You just follow what they say. And then, according to what Paul said, for this is right. It's right to listen to your parents. Right? This is how young people, you learn how to walk right in this life. How to walk worthy of the God of your creation. And now listen, if you're young and you're under, say, 18, and we really can all do this, but I'm speaking directly to the young people in the room. If you're young, I want you to think back of your own life. And think back, there was a time, at a young age, when you looked up to your parents and you just thought everything of them. You just loved it when they got home. You hugged them and you listened to every word and you took it all to heart. And you remember things that your mom and your dad said. And then you started to get a little bit older. And then all of a sudden you became a little independent. And you wanted to start maybe doing things your own way. You question now. Now the word why do I have to mow the lawn? Why do I have to go with you today? Why can't I be with my friends out at the park like everybody else? Why? You start asking, why do I have to? And that's normal because we all begin to age and we all begin to, our will increases in our life. The things that I want to do, the things that I want to listen to, the things that I want to like. It happens to all of us. And we increase and we begin to dislike being told what to do. And that's normal. But God has a picture for us in our life. We are to listen first to the wisdom that comes from above. Secondly, to all the things that our parents teach us and tell us. We're supposed to obey our parents, not let the desire to go our own way take over our lives. And you notice here that Paul doesn't command that we obey our parents only up to a certain age. So now I'm talking to everybody, right? So if you feel like, well, why do I have to obey all the time? Well, your parents have to obey their parents. So there's no age limit. There's no age limit to when we can say, I don't want to listen to you. I don't have to honor you anymore. And parents, again, Paul said the reason is because it is right. So being obedient to parents is a form of service, submission, and worship. That is something that we do to honor God in Christ. Paul wrote to the saints in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and at verse 20. And he says, children, obey your parents in all things well, because it's well-pleasing to the Lord. When I listen to mom and dad, I'm pleasing God. Right? And we don't obey our parents because they're bigger. We don't do that. We don't obey our parents because we're forced to. We want to obey our parents out of respect. We want to obey our parents because they are responsible for our upbringing. They're responsible for our spiritual upbringing. They're responsible for our physical well-being. So this really good reasons to obey parents, right? Your Christian parents will help you because of things they learned as they were growing up through the same ages that you are. They'll help you because they've learned to love Jesus more than anything in the world. The love of Jesus is their motivation. They are teaching you that should also be the love of Jesus being your motivation, right? That love of Jesus, think about this. Cleaning your room when your mom or dad asks you to. Taking out the trash. Mowing the lawn. Whatever chores you might be asked to do. If you are doing those just to obey your parents and not because of the love you might have for them and the Lord, we want to make sure that is the reason. We want you to understand that your parents love Jesus and you also need to love Jesus. So cleaning your room honors your parents. It also honors Jesus. Whatever chore you're asked to do, that honors your parents, which is a good thing. That's wisdom is justified of her children, Jesus said. Wisdom is justified of her children. That means that you're showing great wisdom And it's proved and justified through the work, through the things that you do. The good things are justified. And so that's one thing that you need to have clear in your mind. Love of your parents, love of the Lord is really the answer of all things. So that's why Paul commands honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Think of that first commandment, honor your father and mother. Right? Solomon says, listen to your father who gave you life and don't despise your mother when she's old. Listen to your father who gave you life. Those wonderful words. Solomon also said, Moses in his song, he said, remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations. Ask your father and he will show you, your elders and they will tell you. In other words, you know, the elders, they in this case, Moses is talking about the elders, the fathers. They had first-hand experience in slavery in Egypt. They had first-hand experience seeing the power of God freeing them from that slavery. First-hand experience seeing this Red Sea open up and they cross over on dry land. They had first-hand experience. And in just the same way, we like it or not, our parents have first-hand experience. They have wisdom because they've lived from birth up until the age that they are now. And so they can tell you things, encourage you with things, show you loving things, show you the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they can do that because of their experience. It's not like your parents were born old and they haven't lived any kind of life. They've gone through all the same similar things that you might be going through now. Same questions, and Lord willing, they got the right answers, and they're passing that on to you. Think about that. First-hand experience. The Christian Standard Bible in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5, a fool despises his father's discipline. Remember, wisdom is justified of her children. Wisdom justified of her children means that if you do good things are the outcome. That's the justification of the children. If you do bad things come out. That's the justification of children. That's a lack of wisdom. A fool despises his father's discipline. A person who accepts correction is sensible. And so we want to be sensible. Know that your parents were one time young like yourself. That they understand. And that way you can listen to them more. Listen to them because their wisdom will help you avoid stumbling, help you to avoid some of the hurts and scrapes that you don't necessarily have to experience. So you need to understand Christian parents are your best source apart from the Lord Jesus Christ himself and the Word of God. They are the source. The best, they have your best interest at heart. Even when it doesn't feel like it. And also, that's why we honor parents because of respect, submission, and reverence. There's more to honoring parents than just, I honor you. You need to have those three aspects, respect, submission, and reverence. Right? In Matthew chapter 15, we read about this, how, you know, obedience carries a great measure of respect. And those Pharisees in Jesus' time, they didn't have respect. They weren't willing to submit, and they weren't reverencing Jesus. Showing our parents respect honors them. It raises them up. And it gives all the glory to God. Showing respect, as Paul said, because this is right. Now, Jesus condemned those Pharisees when they failed to financially care for their parents. They taught that, you know, when you get older, you give your money to the temple and you don't need to take care of your parents. They failed in that particular aspect. You know, you give your money to God instead. Matthew chapter 15. Let's read that. Matthew 15 verses 3 through 6. Here's Jesus talking. He answers these Pharisees who were complaining because their disciples were didn't wash their hands in a ceremonial way before they ate. And Jesus says to them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him put to death. Verse 5, but you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So Jesus, he's making it clear that we honor our parents, our fathers and our mothers throughout our lifetime. There's no time when we don't need to do that anymore. It's a lifelong commitment if we walk worthy of our calling. And we need to be careful here. Jesus is talking to adults. That's what that means. It isn't just children, it's adults. Right? All parents are not perfect. That's obvious. But that's no excuse for dishonoring our parents, for disrespecting or disobeying. Right? Parents may not always act in a way that we think is appropriate, but they are still our parents. And if that happens, we demonstrate honoring them, respecting them, submitting to them. We demonstrate our love for our own father and mother by obeying them, even when it doesn't seem right. Again, they are our parents. They're ultimately accountable for our souls and our life. And so we need to do it because it is right. And then, you know, Paul says, fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. That is the next thing that he said. But bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord. Fathers, you have a responsibility given by God. Knowing that your children must obey you doesn't give you a license to abuse your children. It doesn't give you license to aggravate them to the point of wrath and anger. And I want to make that observation that this applies to mothers too. I realize that Paul said fathers, right? But it would be an error to not include mothers in this statement. Mothers are not allowed to provoke their children any more than the fathers are. Maybe a little thing, but it is true. So why is the father singled out? What is it that makes him address fathers? Right? First, one thing that we notice is the father is the head of the household. And that's something that God ordained from the very beginning. We read that in Ephesians 5 and 23. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 at verse 3, we read that the head of every woman is man, the head of every man is Christ, Jesus, and the head of Christ, and the head of Christ is God. So there is a hierarchy. Men, you are accountable for your family's good health. In our society today, fathers are often pushed aside, right? They don't play any account in the family itself. And what happens to the family? Fathers pushed to the sideline, they eliminate sometimes altogether the father. And the result is failure in the family. God without fathers, often off course, or children without fathers are often off course spiritually, troubled, not knowing where to turn, not getting good spiritual lifting and answers. And so fathers, you're very important to the family. And it was God who designed this importance, right? Fathers have an active role in their family, particularly raising their children in a godly manner, to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to know the love of Jesus Christ. And secondly, when we think about that, fathers are commanded not to act in anger toward their children. And there's a reason why God points this to fathers. Right? When it comes right down to it, I know that for a fact that men have less patience than women. That's a fact. And because of that, you think about this. Cain lost his temper and he killed his brother. Moses at the rock lost his temper and ended up never being crossed to the promised land. King Saul chased David all over the countryside, and why? He couldn't control his anger. And let's not forget James and John, the sons of thunder, right? Who wished to call down fire from heaven to destroy the Samaritans for rejecting Jesus. You consider the quality that a man needs for trials. James said, "My beloved, let every one of you be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God." It doesn't produce righteousness. James chapter 1, 19 and 20. So fathers, we need to keep ourselves under control. Those are the qualities that we have to have. Swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. It's hard to do sometimes when we get a little bit heated over something. And quite frankly, young people they're pretty good at hitting that spot in us. They're real easy to test us. And so we need to be godly in our response to that test. Not provoking, not returning anger for anger, but returning reason and instruction for these things. Right? That's God's answer. Bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord, he says. That word training, it speaks to instruction and aims to increase virtue. That verbal aspect of education. Right? Fathers must be able to verbally train children. Cultivate their minds. Bring them up in the admonition of the Lord, teaching and training them. No more, I remember those words, "You do as I say, not as I do." That just scratch that. That does not belong in a godly family. And then as far as admonition goes, it's a way of calling attention to something according to the Strong's definition. Right? A mild rebuke or warning. That's training and admonition. And most important, we learn how it definitely is important that you shall love your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. That's what we want to teach our young people, our children, boys, girls, it doesn't matter. We teach them to love the Lord their God. And we do that through training and admonition. We direct them. The basic command is love. There's nothing more important. That rules out excessive violence. It rules out severe punishment, unreasonable, harsh words or demands, abuse. All those things are eliminated because that's not how God treated us, the God of our love. It helps fathers to remember the things that Solomon said. How important are those wonderful words of Solomon? To be fair-minded. Right? Not lagging. Not nagging. Loving with humility. Sensitive. Not insensitive. So we remember Solomon. Children's, behold, the children are a heritage of the Lord. In fact, I have this up here. Behold, the children are a heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Arrows in the hand of a warrior are so children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but shall speak in the, with their enemies in the gates. We need to understand how precious our children are. Training them to be raised up in the admonition of the Lord, training them to love Jesus Christ and to learn to obey Him helps a long way in learning how we need to obey our own Father. Pass that knowledge on. Your father, your children are your heritage in the Lord. And so they need to be raised up in faith. And sadly, in our times, that's not the way that it works. Often in our times, children run the household. They have control of the family because of the lack of father in the home, the lack of fathers. Or the father is spiritually weak. The unbiblical family leans towards the child rather than training the child. And by leaning towards the child, you know, they have a tendency today to be like their children. You know, a mother colors her hair because the children in the schools are coloring their hairs and they put on tattoos because the children are putting on tattoos. They listen to music that if they really sat down and thought about it, it isn't really good lyrics and good music. But they do all that to be friends with their children. Parents, we're to become teachers to our children, not friends. But that's what families do today. In a godly home, it's not to be led by the child, but it's to lead the child. The godly home parents instruct their children in morality and in modesty. The father and mother, they set a standard for dress, for speech, for relationships. That's what verse 4 is really teaching the parents. Train them up in the admonition of the Lord. Teaching these kinds of things, realize that all those good things come from God. Morality comes from God. Modesty and the way in which we should dress, talk, and act. It all comes from God. Children do have their peers and we need to intercede when that becomes a problem. We have to intercede and have an influence in their lives. And I'll tell you what, I can't even begin to tell you how many times I've talked to a young person and asked a simple question, well, what kind of work does your dad do? And they didn't know. That tells me that there's something lacking in that family. But we need to be prevented. When we say no, no needs to be connected to why. It needs to be connected to the reason. That way the child can understand. Proverbs 22, we read, do not withhold correction from a child, for if you beat him with a rod, he will not die. You shall beat him with a rod and deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs chapter 19, discipline your son while there is hope. Don't set your heart on being the cause of his death. Don't misunderstand the word beat him with a rod. Right? He who spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him. That has to do with proper use of the rod. Train up a child in the way that he shall go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. That is proper use of wisdom. You know, when you have a toddler so young, somebody that maybe they can't quite understand reason, and sometimes, you know, the no must be reinforced with what the Bible refers to as a rod. But when a child reaches a certain age and they have the ability to converse and the ability to understand, they're able to be trained and then admonished, and that goes a long way in their future and their spiritual development. You lose that phrase, as long as you live under my roof, right? You do things my way. How about we all are living under the roof of God? Every man, woman, and child is under the roof of God, and we just do things His way. We do things His way in our work. We do things His way in our home. We do things His way as we raise our children. It's not my way, it's His way, which is always right in the Lord, right? So why can't you stay out after midnight? Why can't I do that, Dad? Well, there's a good reason for that, because dangerous things begin to happen at night when it gets dark. Temptations and sin abound. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 7. Why do I have to do my chores, Dad? Well, because I'm teaching you responsibility. I'm teaching you to grow up not to be lazy and useless. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 25. And Acts chapter 20, verse 35. You go through and show them. You say no with reason. Parents have the God-given responsibility to raise up their children, sheltering them from things that would harm them, but allowing them to learn things through experience as they journey through life to be ready to leave the nest, ready for the world, trained to be successful, right? Teach a man to fish. You know that proverb, right? And you feed him for a lifetime. That's exactly what God wants. And you know what the base, the foundation for fathers and mothers and the children, it's all about love. Because no matter what happens in this world, our faith, right? Our hope, all the things of this life are going to be taken away. And the only thing that's going to be left is love. You love your children and you teach them in the ways of the Lord and you raise them up, training them in the admonition of the Lord so that they're ready. They're prepared, not just for this life, but they're going to be ready and prepared properly for the life to come. The children must learn about the love of Jesus first, above everything. And learn about the consequences for doing right and wrong. Because if they don't learn about the love of Jesus, if that's not really important, let me tell you the truth. Right? Everything else doesn't matter. Because in the end, their soul will belong to the devil. That's our responsibility. That's our purpose. Our precious children. All these temporal things don't matter, right? We're not commanded to raise up our children and instruct them in worldly things, to be good students, good athletes, or any other temporal thing. And it is good to learn to be a good student. It's okay to be a good athlete, but in the end, none of that will matter. If their soul ends up belonging to the devil. And we need to do that by example, not being hypocrites. You can't say, you go to church today. You go to Bible study. We walk with them. Show them that we have a love for Bible study. We have a love for worship. We have a love for the fellowship of the saints. We have a love for listening to the words of God. That's what matters. That's what matters. So we teach our children by example and by word. Parents teaching your children, you know, that the Lord our God is the most important thing in life. That's what really matters. God cares for you. He cares for your children. Children, we serve God the most when we listen to and obey our parents. And that will grow into listening to and obeying Christ. And parents, we serve Christ as we raise our children, not as the world does, but as God wills. Train them up in the education of God is the absolute most important training that we can offer. Training them up in the admonition of the Lord. I appreciate your listening, and I hope this was encouraging to both parents and children. Very important. And I don't want to leave out grandparents. You're important also. We have a song of invitation today, song 808, Come to Jesus Today. Jesus Christ was God's gift to us. Jesus Christ, who came down from the glories and the comforts of heaven to be with us, to walk among men, to be ridiculed and eventually spit upon and even tortured and put on a cross, his hands and feet nailed to that cross, raised up in agony and dying so that we would have a way out of this sinful world, a way into the glories of heaven. And that happens by simply hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, repenting of our sins and confessing Him before men that He is indeed that Christ, being baptized into, immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of sins and to be added to His body, the church. And then we live faithful lives until the day in which we die or the day in which He comes. If you have a need this day to repent, to be baptized, whatever it is, don't wait a minute longer. Come forward now as we stand and as we sing.
Come to Jesus.